Geehrte Fahrgäste, willkommen in Salzburg Hauptbahnhof. Ihre nächsten Reisemöglichkeiten.
Okay, so what I can I say about myself? That I have been working with refugees the past 14 years. I have also studied, you know, like refugee law. Okay, that I'm an activist in refugee issues and in general, let's not say revolutionary issues, but social movement issues.
In my opinion, the first and foremost important problem is the fact that we have many detention centers, which are all illegal, meaning that they were never created or established via a law. Okay, there is no law as that provides the idea of detention centers. There is a law saying that there should be some special places for foreigners, but it doesn't specify that these places should be prisons. Okay. So if you visit some of the detention centers, or at least up till a couple of years ago, you would not see any sign saying where they belong. Do they belong to, let's say, the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the Ministry of Public Order, because they are illegal. So you cannot put a sign saying that this is a building of blah blah ministry. So there is no law specifying that there should be detention centers. On the other hand, there are laws saying that those applying for asylum, and especially the minors, the unaccompanied minors, should be hosted in open, let's say, centers, like reception centers, places where they are not guarded, or there is like a prison, you know. What you see in Greece is that this first and most important violation, that even in the law, there is no provision or any thought on detention centers. It's only for reception centers, and we don't have reception centers. The only few, like 6 or 7 existing reception centers, they are funded by the European Union via NGOs, not by the state. I mean, it's not the state that functions in these reception centers. It's NGOs that get, you know, some funding from the European Union to open a reception center. And this is very problematic because they don't get the funding every year, so it doesn't mean that it will, a reception center that opens in 2010 will continue working till 2015. It depends on if they get the money or not. And this happens exactly because it's not a state provision. Apart from that, there is the issue of the conditions inside the detention centers. And in the detention centers, I don't know if you've read the reports, any reports and from NGOs and UNHCR. Okay, there is this disregarding an inhuman treatment, and this is why Greece has lost many cases with the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. Every time a refugee or an asylum seeker appeals to the European Court of Human Rights, they win the case, because the court always finds that the treatment of the refugees in the detention centers is disregarding and inhuman treatment.
When they come to the detention center, yes. How long do they have to stay there?
Third issue now, the one you talk about. According to the last law, they should
stay, they may stay there up to 18 months. You know, it's very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February 2014, the Legal Council of States, it's a state structure that counsels the government, said that it's not illegal to keep the migrants for whatever time above 18 months. Uh-huh. Once you go inside, there's no end. They don't even have... It's not that they don't go outside, it's that they have no time outside their cells. They have no proper food. They have no doctors at all. They have no water or hot water in the winter. And there are no beds. They sleep on the floor on mattresses. And there is no cleaning service for, you know, the seats, the pillows, the towels. There's no such provisions like shampoos or any, you know, cleaning products. And then Legal Council of the state comes and says that it's okay, it's not illegal if they stay there like forever. So you may find people in detention centers that have been there for 20 months, 22 months, 24 months.
What happens in the time? What has to be checked while they are, what are they waiting for in these 20 months?
They're waiting for the asylum application to be examined.
Mm-hmm.
And because for about 4 or 5 years the asylum applications were not examined in the second instance, there was a backlog that was created. You know, many, many asylum applications pending, like 50,000 asylum applications pending. 50,000 applications pending means that it takes at least 3 or 4 years to examine all these applications, okay? So a person that has been arrested and is in a detention center, he may wait up to 2 years for his application to be examined.
Mm.
And in this time, he stays locked in a detention center. That is what they are waiting there. Practice that was widespread among the policemen in Greece in these detention centers was that they fooled the migrants, telling them that, okay, you can sign this paper and be free without interpreters or nothing. And the paper that it was given to be signed, it was a paper that was sending them back to their country. Okay, so they were thinking that they were signing their release paper, but actually they were signing... they give up their claim for asylum and they go back to their country.
Mm-hmm.
But I no longer seek asylum. That they were expelled from the country, but they never knew what they were signing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Citizen, the first day, first days, what they did was release people from detention centers that were more than 18 months in the detention center. They tried to release minors. And they did that. Yes, yes, there are minors in the detention centers, which is okay, the worst of all. So they released minors, they released people with health issues, they released people who were above 18 months, but they did not release everybody, okay? They never stopped the institution of detention centers. And now, yes, people keep going to detention centers. I mean, people who have not applied for asylum and are arrested on the street after police control and found without the PIN card, the asylum seeker's card, they are sent to detention centers.
Do you know the number, more or less, for the whole country?
Well, in Amigdaleza, it's always around 1,500. In Corinthos and Philakio, which is in Oristiada, and the border with Turkey, the land border with Turkey, it's around 1,200, it depends. And another huge issue is that because a person can apply for asylum only in Athens, if they enter Greece, for example, from the islands, okay, they have to travel to Athens to apply for asylum. If they, if a policeman stops them and they go under police control, that they are without papers, which means that they may be arrested on their way to apply for asylum, under the pretense they don't, that they haven't applied for asylum. Okay, now the past months, because there are many refugees arriving on the islands, there are some units established there, like mobile units, that some people may apply for asylum on the islands. But it's only in two or three islands. But people arrive in Creta as well. People arrive in Rhodes as well. People arrive in Leros, in many islands. In Samos, in Chios, they arrive in many, many islands. Once they arrive, if they don't want to get arrested, they have to apply for asylum. So they have to come to Athens. But on their way to Athens to apply for asylum, they may be arrested because they haven't applied for asylum. Can you understand the paradox? The thing is that they may enter, and they say asylum, but in order for their application to be registered, they have to come to Athens. Okay, so on their journey to Athens, their claim is not registered, so it's just spoken, not written.
I'm sure a lot of people in Greece do know about the conditions and about the problem. Is there a chance to change?
In my opinion, no, it's not, because it's state policy. Yes, there are human rights organizations who fight for the rights of the refugees. There are also other organizations from other countries, like Brazil, which is a German one, and they came and they made some very good reports. But it's very difficult. Imagine that Greece has lost 21 cases in the European Court of Human Rights, and nothing has changed. From 2009 up till today, 2015, Greece was convicted by a European court, okay, and a human rights court, and nothing has changed. So I think it's very difficult for the human rights organizations to change something. What they do, okay, is a respectful fight in the sense that they support refugees in a legal way, you know. But it has to do with the state policy. If the state is willing to change its policy towards the refugees, and I don't think it is willing to do that. You know, they take money to make detention centers instead of taking the money to build open and reception centers, you know, like shelters, which is very different, you know, detention center with a shelter. So they use the money they take in a very different way. They pay a lot of money for the security of a detention center building. In an open structure, in a reception center, you don't need the security, the numbers of security you have in a detention center, you know, the control methods they have. In my opinion, it's because Greece is a very xenophobic country and a racist one. Second of all, because the numbers are really big. Okay, even with reception centers, I don't think the economy of Greece could support all these numbers. Honestly, they are very large numbers, and in large numbers, I think you feel threatened. So you react with a policy of, you know, restriction of rights, restriction of freedom. No, you have this rhetorics of that our nation is being attacked, our nation is under threat. You use the rhetorics that Greece cannot support its own people. How can it support the migrants and the refugees coming? Okay, I totally disagree with this, obviously, with these rhetorics, but it's the rhetorics the people use to justify the existence of detention centers. If a party, a political party or a government just opens its borders to refugees and just lets people out, it will lose many voters. because the collective thinking of the Greek society is that you know, we are Greeks and we have fought the Turks and we have our national independence, and everybody else is, you know, like a lower person. When this person comes from Asia and Africa, okay, when a person comes from the north of Europe, he's an equal. Of course, in some islands, people are very helpful, but 2 points here, 2 things. First, the collective perception is different in the various parts of Greece, because Lesbos Island, for example, was an island that hosted many refugees from the Asia Minor War. Okay, the war in 1922, and after this war, there was this exchange of populations. Okay, ethnic Greeks came to Greece, and ethnic Turks went back to Turkey. So they hosted people from, you know, the Asia Minor region, and so they, in their social memory, let's say, or in their history, they have this experience of hosting people. Mm-hmm. In other parts of Greece, this did not happen. Okay, for example, in Epirus. Not many refugees from Asia Minor came to Epirus. Most of them went to the islands, to Thessaloniki and in Athens. They were not that many in the region of Epirus. So people here are not so comfortable with the idea of the foreigner. Okay. And the second is that although people help refugees, there is always this distinction between you and us, that I am the one helping you, you are the one being helped, so you should be regretful. I don't think the help that is provided is given in terms of equality. Mm-hmm. It's in terms that, okay, I'm the one who can help you, so just bear in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this idea of philanthropy, that the good Christian should help somebody else because the good Christian is above all and the other is like the barbarian who comes and asks for help. I don't think that right now, with all this financial crisis happening, that the first, you know, the first goal, let's say, for the government is to solve the refugee issue. I think the first issue is to see if there's going to be a healthy Greece in financial terms the next day, rather than if people drown in the sea or they live in detention centers. I mean, maybe this government, the leftist government, if we were not in the period of the financial crisis, maybe they would put more focus on the refugees, but I think it's not their first objective to do that.
Mm-hmm. And do you know anything about the groups inside of Syriza or close to Syriza who had this refugee topic as a main issue?
Yes, because they have...
How do you react now? I mean, nothing happened, or nearly nothing happened.
Nearly nothing happened, okay. Only very few steps were accomplished. But you know what, Syriza had this sector of inside called the human rights sector, okay, people who occupied themselves with the refugee policy or the migration policy of Syriza. And in my opinion, they are a bit silenced. I don't know if they chose to be silenced or if they were, you know, like it was imposed on them. But the thing is that the human rights department, the human rights sector, let's say, of Syriza, in its public speech, it's not very present now. For example, they have put this guy, Panoussis, who is an awful minister, as a minister of public order, okay? He's not even leftist, okay? He's not even Syriza. He was from PASOK, who moved to Syriza. Mm-hmm. And they gave to this person one of the most important ministries in Greece, the ministry that controls the policeman. So they gave a very important ministry to a person who is just from another point, let's say, political viewpoint. Anyway, I may sound very pessimistic, but I don't think Syriza can change things.
So what's your hope? What can change?
A revolution. To give you an example, like 40 days ago or something, there was a demonstration in Athens, and people were arrested by the MAT forces. They were tried, okay? Some of them were found innocent, some of them were found guilty, okay? The thing is that the people who were arrested said that the MAT forces told them to put their hands upwards and said, "With which hand did you vote Syriza? This one?" And they were beating their hands, okay? And you have a Syriza government and the policemen are telling people, "Did you vote Syriza?" It's like the military in Turkey. For Greece, it's the police. It's very brutal, it's very violent. Apart from the case of Grigoropoulos, the guy who was shot dead in December 2008, that was the only case that two policemen went in prison. We don't know other cases where police was very brutal, violent, and they faced like consequences for their behavior. Honestly, I mean, the Golden Dawn, that it's the racist party, the fascist party of Greece, it's like the third party now, okay? And now, you know, it's their trial. The trial started, I think, in April or in May. It's been going on for the past 3 months at least. It's going to be one of the longest trials, political trials in Greece. People are not very optimistic that they will be either convicted or, you know, somehow restricted. No, I think it's going to be like the usual way. One or two people will pay for everything and the rest will just go free. Now, with Syriza, the police violence keeps going. What is very disappointing is that the anti-terrorist forces of the police, they have made many, many arrests the past months. Greeks, Kurds. There have been many arrests and people put to prison under the pretense of, you know, violating the anti-terrorist law. And it's really scary that the leftist government does that.
The police is doing it or the government is doing
it? It's an anti-terrorist force within the police. And the police belongs to the government. I mean, if the government does not want the police to do that, I think they can order it not to happen, okay? I mean, you can order policemen who are people made to take
to
orders,
obey.
Okay, to obey.
Termitinitus.org